This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper.
Being healthy isn't just eating a balanced diet and exercising. Things like stress and anxiety can catch up to you and present real issues when it comes to your health.
Many of us know that mental issues can manifest into physical problems, but what is the extent of this connection? Our next guest sees health as a more holistic term, one that should not necessarily be split into the mental and the physical. Dr. John Campo is a Chief Behavioral Wellness Officer and Assistant Dean for Behavioral Health at West Virginia University School of Medicine. Thanks for taking the time, Dr. Campo.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
What do we know at this point about the relationship between physical and mental health?
Well, probably the thing that we know the most is that health really is a unitary construct that you really can't and shouldn't try to parse into a physical component and a mental component. We know that our emotional and behavioral well-being affects our physical well-being and vice versa. That's very well known.
So is there any indication that one or the other contributes more?
I think it cuts in all sorts of directions. So typically when we think about mental disorders or addictions, we tend to think about them as quote-unquote purely psychological. But if you look, it's very clear that several physical health conditions can not just cause psychiatric symptoms and disorders, but can actually make people more vulnerable to develop these kinds of disorders. So, for example, people with epilepsy are much more vulnerable to a variety of emotional and behavioral problems. People following a stroke are more vulnerable to developing depression, and depending on where that stroke is in your brain, it can have a more profound effect on producing depression. So physical disorders can produce psychiatric symptoms and disorders, or at least that's how we conceptualize them. The flip side is also true, right? Having a mental disorder or an addiction can certainly have a negative impact on physical health. If we think in a very general sense, especially in younger populations, what are the things that kill young people? Number one is accidents. Number two, between the ages of 10 to 34 or 5, is suicide. Number three is violence. Do we think any of those things have something to do with mental disorders and addictions? Of course they do. So these are profoundly important public health problems that oftentimes have their underpinnings in what we tend to think about as mental disorders or addictions. The other aspect is that if you already have a physical health disorder, having a concomitant or a comorbid, if you will, mental disorder or addiction makes it more likely that you're not going to do well. But mental disorders, increasingly we're finding out, have direct effects on the physiology of the body such that they negatively affect the disease process. So being depressed or anxious might actually increase your vulnerability to inflammation and actually make the disease process more of a problem. And then finally, if you look at people with serious mental illness, about 4 to 5% of people suffer from a serious mental illness, schizophrenia, really bad bipolar disorder, or depression. If you look at that group of the population, not commonly known, but having a serious mental illness shortens your life. And it's not just because these folks are more vulnerable to suicide. They die from a variety of other physical health disorders.
But we haven't always understood that correlation between physical and mental health. How's that changed over time?
I think we're making some progress, but probably the biggest barrier has been how we think about it, right? When we think about mental disorders, rather than thinking about them as public health disorders, I think we often tend to think about them more as socio-moral problems than health problems, so to speak. If you just look at our healthcare system, it's evolved in a way such that it's frankly, I think segregated is a bit dramatic, but probably not too strong a word. There's been a separate system of care for physical health disorders and a parallel and not as well-funded system of care for mental disorders and addictions. One of the really important and powerful movements has been the integration of mental health and addiction services in general medical settings. And I think that's made a tremendous difference. We're not exactly where we need to go, But I think there's been progress. Our emergency departments really aren't set up to deal with the individual who presents in a mental health or addiction-related crisis. It's not because there isn't the need. It's because we haven't really been thinking about it properly, and it's been out of our awareness.
Well, even on a more sort of pop psychology level, these concepts of mindfulness and self-care weren't that popular two decades ago or whatever. Is that part of the evolution in our popular thinking?
Yeah, I think it's a positive bit of evolution in our popular thinking. I think that people are recognizing that these supposedly mental or holistic techniques actually have been shown increasingly to have positive effects on health, and that we can apply these things to improve how people live and how long they live.
What do we need to do to find out more about mental health and its impact on our overall health? And if you want to talk about any research you're involved in on the connection between the two, that would be great.
Well, I think one of the areas that I think has been incredibly important has just been focusing on how emotional distress, on how stress, on how doing things like providing care for a family member who has Alzheimer's disease or another important condition can have negative health impacts on the caregiver. Understanding better how stress can impact our ability to fight off infection, how it might make us more vulnerable to the effects of inflammation, to aging in general. I think we know more and more that the number of adverse childhood experiences that people have come across growing up has a very real impact on their physical health and their well-being in general later in life. What we're learning is that this dichotomy between physical health and emotional health or well-being is a false dichotomy, and you really can't parse them out. That health is a unitary construct in all respects.
So how do we begin to treat our health in a more holistic way, whether it's ourselves, our own perceptions, our doctors, public health officials? How do we make that leap to being more holistic?
I think we need to begin to think about mental disorders and addictions as part of healthcare in a serious way. Right now, when you think about it, people don't ask questions about whether it's cost-effective to take care of someone following a heart attack or a stroke or when they develop cancer. Interestingly, in our healthcare environment now, those of us who are in the mental health field and in the field of addictions, the first question we're asked when we try to put forward the need for a service or for integrating services in an emergency department, the first question is, well, will that be cost effective? Now, make no mistake, I think it's important that what we do is cost effective, but it's typically not our first consideration in healthcare. I mean, if you want to be crass about it, if you think about many of the disorders that we invest much of our healthcare resources in, these are disorders that if you're really concerned about cost, it would be quote unquote cheaper to let people die, frankly. We don't do that. That's not who we are. And yet we're applying a somewhat different standard to mental disorders and addictions that can have equally dire effects on both morbidity and mortality. I think we're starting to confront the whole issue of stigma, but it's in the water. Even those of us who are in the field, our minds are filled with this. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and it's really only in the last decade or two that began to start thinking about, wow, why are our emergency rooms set up this way? We can do it better. We can do it differently.
Well, it is one of the big transitions, I feel like, in medicine of today. So we appreciate you discussing it with us today, Dr. Campo.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege to spend some time with you today.